dogs in the yard, might need a guard. Every loss, taken to heart. Me first, that cannot be. Must be these underdog episodes, see? Feeling much better, so suddenly. Under the moniker, Monica G. Crafted at night, while all of them sleep. I won't look a fool, taking this tool. Defeating the opposition around me. No, no, I'm not sorry. Yes, I'm taking this knowledge imparted. Just barking, no harm, don't be startled. Yes, I'm taking the title, and it's so vital. Thanks for the ride, I'll never be idle. Turn up the dial, it's about to get wild. And the points gon' pile up.
That is the underdog bite down. Up at the day and the night now. Easy as flying a kite now. Come take a look at it right now. Dynasty underdog bite down. Up at the day and the night now. Easy as flying a kite now. Come take a look at it right now.
Everyone, welcome to episode 146 of Dynasty Underdog. I'm your host, Jared Hawkins. With me tonight, Billy Beeman and Josh Goldberg. What's up, guys?
Just amped to talk about some trades in a bit, dude. I've been wheeling and dealing the past couple days. Got some fun trades to talk about. So yeah, man, I'm stoked. I'm stoked to get into it.
Yeah, happy we're all back together and rocking and rolling.
Rocking and rolling. Yeah, the trade action has been kind of crazy in Console Wars, and I just absolutely love it. So things have just worked out really good for me in that league this rookie draft season. But we'll talk about it later. Let's hop into some news and nonsense. First thing I pulled up is a tweet by Jeff Mueller to some OTA notes to keep you all updated. Breece Hall not participating yet in OTAs, which I guess is not that crazy because, you know, he's coming off an injury, so it might be a little early for that. Kyle Pitts still rehabbing from an MCL repair, but expected to be ready for camp. Javonte Williams limited in OTAs. No details on the drills he did, but there is video out there of him actually in pads, carrying the ball, and running, which is, well, we've talked about it. It's kind of just like, I don't know, like, I'm excited that, like, okay, maybe he'll bounce back quick, but, like, so still unbelievable. But it's a thing. Yeah. He's out there in pads.
These guys get back on the field fast these days, man. It's kind of becoming normal.
David Montgomery injured calf or ankle, so got to keep an eye on that. And then Tony Pollard participating in low-key OTA drills. He was out there for about 20 minutes and then, you know, left, which, you know, I think he broke his leg, right? So
something. I like that, Josh. It's something.
Yeah. It's something. He broke his leg. So, yeah, it's not that bad. So I just want to throw that out there. And then, yeah, we'll hop into the news and nonsense. Again, it's kind of like we did last week. This is almost like a part two of, I think, what we kind of build upon what we were doing last week, which is some of the camp news, and then what will happen to the NFC running back handcuffs. So first one is, this should be funny to Billy. He's the Patriots fan, but said a longtime Pats running back coach on Ty Montgomery. He has a great chance to be the third down back and take some of the load off Ramondre. So he could be fresh when we really need him on first and second down. We need some help for Ramondre, and I think Ty is looking really good. He's healthy.
Ty Montgomery is 30 years old. He's 30 years old. I'm just buying Pierre Strong, just hoping that that's kind of where the tutelage is going from Montgomery. Like, he's teaching him the ways, and Strong is just kind of, you know, waiting in the wings, watching, doing his best. So I'm hoping that's what's going to happen, because I really don't have much faith in Montgomery making it through a full season, let alone being any kind of productive. Definitely not for fantasy, that's for sure.
All right, next one comes out of the Jaguars camp here. It says Ridley simply moves differently than any other wide receiver on the field. The pacing and tempo in his routes, the quicknesses of his feet, and his ability to change up his approach to his routes, even when he isn't getting the ball, all stand out.
I love to hear this, man. It's like you choose what hype to believe, what hype not to believe.
I know, right? Isn't that crazy?
You know, but the thing is, I've been buying into Ridley for a while now, just seeing kind of his Player Tribune piece where he talked a lot about just, you know, all of the troubles before the suspension and just the mental health stuff. So with all that, like, he seems determined to come back strong, and all of that sounds like what we know he can do. So I believe it. Like, I totally believe it. I'm buying in for sure. And he's not expensive. Like, I got him in two separate startups, I think, in like the ninth round or something around there. Like, very, very cheap.
Yeah, no, that's about where I've seen him going, but I'm excited. I've been buying him since the suspension. Somebody offered me in my C2C league, I think, a fifth rounder for him. as a fifth rounder for him. So I snagged that right up. Yeah. And yeah. I
want to play with whoever you're playing with.
I won in that league. That's like my worst like comment I ever see on like Twitter. Is like, oh, what was that, an 18 league? Let me in. I want to be in. I don't care what the buy-in is. Let me in that league. It's like, okay, tap the brakes, buddy. Like,
play in a high stakes league with me.
Yeah, I've seen that. Just
that's the one. I just saw that. Yeah, I just saw that one.
But yeah, this one is a little more believable, and it's crazy because we talked about, it was about a year ago where Jaguars made a trade and they got Ridley back, and it's like, well, why are you doing that? He's not going to play all year. Well, this is why, right? Yeah. So like they were playing Dynasty. It's kind of what it was, All right. Next one. This one's out of Saints. Head coach Dennis Allen said that he thinks Kendra Miller possesses, quote unquote, that skill set. And Miller said that the team's coaches have been telling him that, quote unquote, we knew it was in you. That's why we drafted you. We know you could catch. Okay. So this is like low hanging fruit. Is he the next Alvin Kamara?
I don't think so. Absolutely, like he certainly doesn't like have the skill set that Kamara has. He's not built the same. He's actually a little bit more top heavy than Kamara is, who's I think a little bit more sturdy down low and just has a little bit more of a stronger base. Either way, this is coach speak if you've ever heard it, right? Like this is it right here. Yeah, I love like the targeted, like we know you can catch. You know, it's like super, super targeted. Like it's almost like he's talking to fantasy managers too. Like you gotta love that.
Yeah. Oh man, he's gonna catch 80 balls this year. I will say though, like he has a path to be relevant this year.
No, he certainly does.
But it does bank on what happens with Kamara. But even after that, even if he does anything, time flies. Kamara is getting old, so there is something there. Like Kendra Miller is somebody that, like, I didn't actually end up with any shares of him in any of my rookie drafts, but like I kind of wanted him, if that makes sense.
No, I get it. I bypassed him in one, but I wasn't a big fan. The landing spot's not bad. I think the fact that Kamara hasn't been suspended yet, or hasn't, not even suspended, like just the fact that the court case hasn't really moved forward yet, makes me think that it's going to keep dragging on and that he's not going to be suspended at least until midway through the season or something. So I think there's a chance Kamara plays a good portion of the season. One way or another, there's definitely a chance that Miller has a pathway after that too. So I'm not denying that he has a pathway and that he has some ability, but I don't know. I'm not that interested.
Yeah, good landing spot, but doesn't get me excited.
Okay, cool. All right, then the last one here is again out of the Saints. I snagged these from, just for reference with you guys, it's hard to follow all 32 teams beat writers, but there's an account on Twitter. I think it's called @32beatwriters. And so if you go through, OTAs and minicamp and all that stuff, like they'll post the relevant quotes from beat writers and stuff like that. So it kind of helps you stay on top of, what's going on.
It's actually a really good follow. They're pretty on top of everything and you get all the latest like camp videos and stuff. It's good.
Yeah. So, the last one, tight end Juwan Johnson, which we're all pretty excited about until Foster Moreau went there for whatever reason.
Because he's good.
I like Foster Moreau. I've always liked him. So, said he asked Saints to put together film of Julian Edelman, which he's been watching a lot recently because, quote unquote, I know the type of role I'll be doing, and Derek Carr loves those routes. Said Edelman is one of the best at those choice routes, short game routes. So we're talking about a big boy.
Like, he can watch those routes all he wants. He can't run them that way, the way Edelman can.
When I read this, I did a double take. I was like, wait, did I read that correctly?
Like, it sounds nice, but like realistically, you're not Edelman. You're not, like, God created you the way he created you, and it's not in the likeness of Julian Edelman. But
he could watch plenty other guys run those routes and he couldn't do it the way they do it, let alone Julian Edelman. So yeah, I mean, good on him trying to sharpen his game. Juwan Johnson's a pretty good player, but it's the Foster Moreau addition really kind of kills the Juwan Johnson hype, I think, just in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a little less tasty to go out there and try to acquire Juwan Johnson, but It is what it is, but this is fun. This is the time of year. So, yeah, do follow that account just because you'll see these, you know, fun, if nothing else, takes and quotes. So it's that time of year. That's the news and nonsense we have.
Yeah, a little more nonsense before we move on. I just keep seeing this this comment here, and it is funny. First of all, listening to the intro at one time speed is something normal people do. So, yeah, people who listen at like 1.5 and 2.0, I feel like you're like from another planet. I don't know how you do it, but it's weird listening to myself on the intro. I'll just say that.
If a pod has a good intro, I always go like one time speed, just to like, okay, this is my jam. But then once I'm listening, it's 1.3 or 1.2. I just kind of get through it, right? You know, I got a 20-minute commute home. I'm trying to listen to a 40-minute pod by the time I get home.
So. You could put a mixtape together with all the intros Gabe has done. Seriously,
I know.
They're pretty good.
I still love ours.
Yeah, ours is great. I love ours. I love it. The original is awesome.
All right, cool. So this is where we left off last week. We're going through all the handcuffs. There's kind of a Discord want or question. So I was like, we pulled up all the running backs for all the teams and kind of look at all the handcuffs or how we feel that they should be handcuffs. And it was so good, we really only got through the AFC. So I think this week we'll go ahead and hop into the NFC and see how we feel about these guys.
Cool. Let's
do it. Cool. All right. NFC East. They have Tony Pollard, RB1. Behind him, Malik Davis. He's been there for, I think, maybe his second year, third year. And then they drafted Deuce Vaughn. And they brought in Ronald Jones as a free agent. And then Rico Dowdle. He's been there a while. Tony Pollard may not be ready week one. Any of these guys you think are must own running back handcuffs?
Personally, I'm hopping on as much Deuce Vaughn as I can.
That's the one. I'm right there with Josh. This is Ronald Jones' final resting place, I think. But yeah, I'm here for the Deuce Vaughn hype for sure. I love this kid. A lot of people think he's just going to be a special teams guy, but I don't know, man. I think that this kid is a hard runner. He's done it, you know, in college at a high level. I know Malik Davis has been there a while. He might be a guy to have, but I really want all the Deuce Vaughn and just kind of take my shot there.
I agree with that. All right, New York Giants, obviously Saquon, RB1. Behind him is Matt Breida, 31. Yeah, Matt Breida. They drafted Eric Gray, and they have Gary Brightwell and Jashawn Corbin. Like,
yeah.
That's all you could say.
I mean... yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Saquon's really the only one you want. But if he goes down, like, is Eric Gray going to be a guy that you want to have, or is Matt Breida going to be a guy you want to have?
I mean, Eric Gray has some pedigree coming out of Oklahoma. Like, he was a pretty decent running back. I think I talked about him a little bit as one of the more elusive backs in the class. I think he does have some good wiggle. So, I mean, I think he could maybe make his way on the field, especially with the other options being what they are.
All right, this next one's good because it has like some pretty popular names, but we'll go to the Eagles, who are trash. But they traded for DeAndre Swift. They have him listed as RB1. Kenneth Gainwell's still there. And then they, in free agency, Rashad Penny. And then, again, they extended Boston Scott, and they still have Trey Sermon. Big Divvy mistake on my part. Do you want any of these guys other than Swift?
I mean, I still have a few shares of Gainwell, but I mean, I'm not actually trying to buy him.
I don't even know if I want Swift.
Like, it's hard, huh?
Yeah. Just move Penny. I'll talk about it a little later in the trade section. I don't really want any of these guys. Somebody will come out on top, I'm sure, but I think it's just going to be as much of a committee as you could see in the NFL. I think that's what you're going to get here.
On to the Washington Commanders. We have Brian Robinson listed as RB1. Antonio Gibson is RB2. And then the rookie, Chris Rodriguez. I think we talked about this with the news about trying to get Antonio Gibson more touches or whatever. And I believe that Billy and I both were just like, hey, stay away from this entire running back room. How do you feel about it, Josh?
I mean, I like Robinson. I have coming out of college. And then the way he made his way back last year after the injury, I have a couple shares, but again, yeah. It's one of those, I'm holding on to him because I have him, but I'm not actually going out trying to buy any of them.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much agree with that. That's what we talked about last week. I don't love any of these guys here. I don't think Brian Robinson is really a plus running back. Antonio Gibson has the most upside, but we've seen this year after year after year. Chris Rodriguez, unfortunately, is probably just going to be a guy. I liked him coming out. I thought he's a really good runner, but again, it's kind of the same as Brian Robinson, and Brian Robinson is a better running back. So yeah, they're all just a mishmash of blah.
Yeah, just all kind of flex plays, if anything.
Unfortunately.
All right, NFC North. Chicago, they have our lads, ourlads.com. This is where we get these depth charts again. It's something I've been using for a lot of years, and I think that they do one of the best jobs at actually updating and getting it kind of right. Like who really truly is like the 1A, 1B. So, but they have Deontay Foreman, an Achilles success story as RB1. Khalil Herbert is RB2, and then the rookie Roshan Johnson, RB3. Personally, I am all aboard Roshan Johnson. In Console Wars, three copy league again, we're doing a rookie draft, and there was one share left of him, and that's the only time I traded up in that draft. Spent a second to move, or spent a fourth to move up two spots to get the last share of Roshan. So I'm all aboard Roshan Johnson. I think he is the type of running back that could handle a load a lot more than Khalil Herbert. And Deontay Foreman is just, you just wonder, right? So how do you guys feel about these guys?
I mean, with Foreman, I think he went out there and proved himself after the injury, so I don't really think you got to wonder. But I'm high on Herbert. I always have been. I was really hoping he was going to get the chance to lead that team, I mean. But we'll have to see what happens there.
Yeah, it's again, like, it's kind of a mishmash, unfortunately. I like Roshan Johnson, too, and he definitely could end up leading the pack. But I agree with Josh. Dante Foreman showed that he's got some ability at this point, right? Like, 3 years removed from the Achilles tear. I think they plan on using him, too. And I think Herbert is probably more the dynamic player. The other guys are more the grinders. So I think Herbert might play a little bit of a different role than the other two. I almost kind of lean going Herbert direction. Just, I don't know. I don't know how much running can those three get with Justin Fields. There's only going to be so many carries there, you know? So, I mean, it may be the goal line guys are the ones to have, and maybe Roshan's that guy.
Former Bear, we'll head on to Lions here. Former Bear, David Montgomery, RB1. Behind him, Jahmyr Gibbs, which we all know and love, and then behind him is Craig Reynolds. Obviously, Gibbs is, he was drafted 12th overall. I mean, you can't really overlook that, right? So, and he's going, you know, 105, 104, 106 at the latest in your rookie drafts. He's a definitely, you know, high priority add, in my opinion. But it doesn't mean that he, you know, David Montgomery's, you know, going to be worthless, but Gibbs is definitely a guy that's worth definitely worth rostering. So
I think they both could be great. First of all, like with the way the team kind of, you know, plays on offense, and I think how they intend to use Gibbs and how they intend to use Montgomery's probably in line for a few more easy touchdowns, right? And then Gibbs is going to have more of the high value touches in terms of passing down work and whatnot. So I think that they both could be super, super useful here, and they're the only two that really matter. We've seen Craig Reynolds play. You don't really want to roster him. But yeah, I still like David Montgomery a lot. I do think Gibbs is going to take over the role. You don't spend the 12th overall pick and not use that kind of guy. Whether it works out or not, that's a different story, but I think they intend on testing the theory.
Didn't you know he was like less than 200 pounds though?
I've read it once or twice, I think somewhere on Twitter.
All right, cool. Moving on to Green Bay, obviously Aaron Jones is still there. Probably not a whole lot left like in the tank for him, but he's produced every time he's been healthy. Behind him, A.J. Dillon, which we all know and love, and then Taylor Patrick. What's interesting is they didn't really add a running back until the seventh round. So the team must feel pretty comfortable with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon.
I mean, I was surprised Jones didn't get traded to the Jets, but
well, I mean, with what they did, no, I mean, I they have Brees, and with what they did in the draft, I think they're fine. But Yeah, I still think Aaron Jones has some life in him. And the way I've seen A.J. Dillon's value just plummet, like, he might be a buy in a way, especially if Aaron Jones were to go down, which we've seen plenty. I mean, Dillon hasn't proven to be good or great by any means, but I think it's just in terms of he is a really solid running back, better than the average backup, and he's the direct backup, a guy who gets his own touches, has his own role. So for him to plummet the way he has is, you know, I think there's some value there more than the market is giving him credit for, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think you could flex AJ Dillon, comfortably, most week, start 10, start 11. He's still going to get his own touches. So he should definitely be rostered. That's a high quality, handcuff in my opinion.
Would you send a 24 second for AJ Dillon?
Yeah.
No, but I'll talk about why.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Teaser.
Teaser. We have very similar situation here with the Vikings. You have Dalvin Cook, RB1, and then his backup is Alexander Mattison, which we all know. Behind him is Ty Chancellor. They added a guy in the 7th round, Dwayne McBride, which some people are high on, but probably for no good reason. Last year, they drafted Kenny Ngakoue, which I think I still have a share of, but he's probably going to, just be droppable at this point.
The whole situation with Cook is so up in the air. It's hard to really make any judgment calls or moves without knowing what happens there. So, I don't really know what to do with that backfield. But as late as McBride's going, he's a good bet in rookie drafts for sure. I mean, he's like a fourth-round pick most of the time that I've seen, sometimes third. So, yeah, he's probably he's the guy I'd bet on because Alexander Mattison is getting expensive because they're anticipating him being, the replacement.
Have you seen him move? I feel like everybody I've seen has been holding on to him.
Mattison?
Yeah. Because his value's in such flux. So
I mean, in terms of startups, I think he's not being moved because his price is probably higher than anybody is willing to spend. Like, so you know what I mean? His value is kind of in a place where people are like getting excited about it, I think is more what I meant. I guess it's not like his value is too high, but more than I want to spend on a running back who's like a backup anyway, who will never be like the starter,
Yeah.
He's almost getting value towards starter like area.
Yeah, you don't really, I mean, in none of my leagues I haven't seen Mattison be traded, and it's kind of like it's the opposite of being like an old vet that you can't get rid of. I just think that Alexander Mattison probably is just like those who are like interested in him aren't willing to pay what the owner thinks he's worth right now. So
right,
if you have him, awesome, but is he acquirable for a reasonable price? Probably not. Okay, this next one's fun. NFC South, we have the Falcons. Obviously, they drafted Bijan, first round, fourth overall. Behind him is the rookie from last year, Tyler Algier, who had decent season. And then behind him is crazy, it's Cordarrelle Patterson, who rejuvenated his whole entire career by going to the Falcons. Last year, the year before, the year before, he was like almost league winner type of deal just because of how cheap he was on waivers. Or just like some one of those guys that you're like, oh, I'm gonna have to drop him eventually. He hasn't done anything in the league. Obviously, this is Bijan's team.
Yeah.
But do you think it's still important to roster a guy like Algier and Patterson?
I think Algier. I personally don't think Patterson has any value anymore.
Yeah, I don't think he has much left either, unfortunately. Yeah, I'd just be sticking with Algier. He showed he's a pretty good player, and I mean, direct backup. Like that's money. He's probably, I think we talked about this in the Discord. He's probably one of the best, one of the best handcuffs in the league because he's definitely gonna have standalone value too. He will get touches.
I agree with that a lot. All right, Carolina Panthers. They traded for Miles Sanders in the offseason,
mm-hmm.
picked up Chuba Hubbard in the draft last year or the year before, and Raheem Blackshear was from last year. Spencer Brown, and they didn't draft another running back this year. You interested in Miles Sanders or Chuba Hubbard?
I personally am interested in both, but Billy, you aren't?
No, not particularly interested in either. I've never been a Miles Sanders guy, and him going into a lead role with a rookie quarterback. This is technically second contract, right? Like running back.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it just doesn't seem like a guy I want to invest in. He might get there on volume this year. In some sort of way, because he's probably one of the better talents on the team, just because how bereft the team is of talent at the skill positions, but yeah, not a huge fan. And Chuba has proven to be pretty much a non-factor.
All right, moving on to the Saints. Alvin Kamara, RB1. Jamal Williams, a touchdown leader from last year, RB2. And then the rookie we talked about, Kendre Miller.
All the talk about Kendre Miller, I like Jamal Williams a little bit.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the team is going to probably score some points, and he's going to be down there on the goal line doing what he does best, scoring touchdowns. So
when he's not watching anime.
Yeah, I mean, for any of the zero running back builds that I've kind of done this offseason, that he's the target that I've been going after, and he's around in the, you know, 11th, 12th round.
Cool. Finishing off the NFC South, we have Rashad Wright. I don't know why I always do the Rashad. Like, I'm not Jewish. Chase Edmonds.
I know with the chai.
Chai, yeah.
Sorry.
Chase Edmonds, who Billy hates, and Keyshawn Vaughn, who everybody drafted way too soon.
Every team that Chase Edmonds go to hates him as much as I do, so I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's ugly. This team is not going to be good this year.
I would take my shot on Sean Tucker. Take your shot on Sean Tucker, who's, I don't even know if he's on that, if you set him on that list, but he's the guy.
He's undrafted, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was because I think he has it's a potential heart condition or something like that, but he's easily as talented as Rashad White, I think, in my opinion. I mean, I don't think that highly of Rashad White. So
you think even less highly of Chase Edmonds, and I don't think anybody is standing for Keyshawn Vaughn anymore. So yeah, why not? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this group is a group of running backs that everybody just wants to be right on, but they're just not that good. I'm sorry. Like, just it's okay. Like, admit it. This is where running backs go to die, is the fucking
Yeah. I mean, they probably end up with the first overall pick, if you ask me. It's gotta be close.
They're definitely going. I mean, did you see the video of Baker and Kyle Trask?
I know.
No.
Okay, this is my official. I'm taking my flag and I'm unplanting it. I'm officially out on Baker.
Okay.
Probably took me two seasons longer than everybody else, but I've just seen him ruin so many good wide receivers that I can't defend him anymore.
Oh my goodness, dude. Kyle Trask looked like it was the first time he ever threw a football. Like,
he's trash.
Dude, one of those balls came out and it was like he threw it sideways. Like,
oh my god.
Dude, this is, oh my god.
It's like Cam Newton's last season in Carolina.
Worse, way worse. God,
all right, cool. So NFC West, guy that I've faded to my demise ever since. They got running back one, James Conner. Behind him, last year's rookie, Keontae Ingram. Corey Clement is still around. Tyson Williams, and then free agent Imari DiMicardo.
Oh yeah, that was worth mentioning.
That team's gonna suck too.
most likely because they don't have a quarterback. But I do like James Conner on volume alone. Like there's really nobody else. Obviously, Keontae Ingram, he's gonna get some play, but he's nothing compared to what James Conner brings to that team. And I think they're gonna likely try to, I don't know, run the offense through him. But I think early they might try to run the offense through him with no real quarterback there. I know you believe in what's the guy's name? Clayton Tune. Yeah. And obviously maybe he'll show something, but I'm going to take my victory lap on James Conner over Chase Edmonds rest of my fantasy career. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll take my L.
I was right.
Oh my god.
All right. LA Rams, who I think are going to be a better team this year than people think. Just given, recency bias, and like they look like trash last year, but like Matt Stafford was coming from like an elbow thing, and they're still reeling from, buying the Super Bowl. But Cam Akers, man, he's still on the team, RB1. They got Kyron Williams behind him, who was kind of a hot ticket last year. They drafted Zach Evans in the sixth. They just don't really have anybody else. They have Ronnie Rivers is a guy I've never heard of, and Tyon Evans, another guy I've never heard of. But what the big thing is, even though they didn't have a lot of draft capital, and then this is not a podcast I was listening to, I don't remember who, but they didn't bring in a running back. Like Cam Akers is RB1.
What if they sign Leonard Fournette or Zeke?
Well, then Cam Akers is RB2. It's very uncertain. God, it would be nice if Leonard Fournette and Zeke had spots already so we could stop worrying about it, because they're going to destroy some team, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you interested in any of these running backs at all?
I mean, I'm not a big fan of Cam Akers. I was a big fan of Cam Akers, but the Achilles and just kind of how they brought him back. Donta Foreman's a success story, but it took so much time. And yeah, I mean, Cam Akers is a better talent, but I don't know. I just don't, that's not really where I want to put my assets into, put my investment into is a running back like that. I'd much rather turn him into something else. So yeah, I like Kyren Williams. Zach Evans is super cheap. I'd probably rather take a shot on one of those guys and bet that they come out on top for whatever reason, not because I believe in them.
Yeah, no, I have a couple shares of Williams. I'm hoping he does something.
On to San Francisco. McCaffrey actually stayed healthy after his departure to San Francisco, which is crazy because it just seems like every single San Francisco running back gets injured. He's RB1. RB2 is Elijah Mitchell. Came out of nowhere, took Trey Sermon's job week one, and nobody knew about it until the game started. Terrion, Davis, Price, those two were kind of hot tickets last year, and they didn't draft anybody. Are you interested in Elijah Mitchell, in case, like, CMC goes down?
Definitely, definitely. I also think he has some standalone value. We saw when he came back last year for the game or so, he was healthy or whatever. I think he scored a touchdown. Like they like to run the ball, and if they don't have to do it with CMC every time and they can – you know, use him on passing downs instead, they're going to do that. So, yeah, I like Mitchell a lot, and he's actually very, very cheap. You could probably get him for a couple thirds or a third package with some player you don't really want, you know, something like that. I think you could do.
Cool. Let's finish it off here with Seattle. Kenneth Walker, RB1, they drafted him last year pretty early on. And then this year they drafted Zach Charbonnet, a guy I'm really high on, in the second. And they still have DJ Jallis there. Kenny McIntosh, they drafted in the seventh. And that's about it.
Kenny McIntosh is not terrible. That's interesting. I'm not going to lie. I did not know that's where Kenny McIntosh ended up. That's funny.
That's okay. I can't know everything about everything. That's why we're here.
That one I didn't catch. But Zach Charbonnet has got to be the best handcuff in the league, right? No? Like he's the best. Like, they drafted this kid in the second round, right? Was it second or third round did they draft him in? Second round. I mean,
yeah, like, they took Kenneth Walker with pick 22 in the second. They took Zach Charbonnet with pick 23 in the second. And we've seen what happened when they drafted Penny in the first, but they also they got Chris Carson in like the sixth. They don't care. They don't care like where they took you. Like, Pete Carroll's going to put out whoever the best player is. And we saw that with Chris Carson. That dude just, you know, sledgehammer, right? And I guess, you know, Penny was injured a little bit, but it didn't really matter. Like, he didn't see the field because Chris Carson was that dude. So there's a chance that, like, Charbonnet might be better than Kenneth Walker. Like, I don't think that's even crazy to say.
No, I don't think it's crazy to say either. I mean, I understand why people, you know, don't want to go there with it. But, you know, the thing that Kenneth Walker brought to the table coming out of college was this was always the deal. He was the most talented runner. I think that Charbonnet is nearly as talented a runner, if not as talented, but he also is a little bit more versatile. So if he does end up being as good of a runner as Kenneth Walker, then they're going to have two very talented backs, two similarly talented backs. And Charbonnet could definitely push Walker because he has more to offer, I think, in terms of pass catching ability. So, yeah, it's kind of a little hot takey for sure, but it's not crazy. And I think he's by far the best backup in the league. Just kind of going through all of them, if you're looking for the best handcuffs, he's got to be at the top of the list right there.
Yeah, I agree with that too. And the one thing that's interesting, because we talk about draft capital. It's only 1 year removed from Kenneth Walker, but they have the exact same investment in these guys. So whoever's the best running back is going to win there. I just have to believe. I think our lads made my video a little choppy, but that's it. That's the NFC running backs.
Our lads does do that, by the way. It does like mess with your CPU usage. I don't know why, but
I don't know. Yeah. All right, cool. So last week we did we'll do this real quick because there's only two to go over, and then we'll get some trades because we've been busy.
Oh, I might have one extra
last
one.
Week.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. Last week we did some dynasty offseason don'ts, which is very good, actionable content that's free out there, by the way. I saw that on Twitter where someone was complaining about there's no good content and if everybody's got to pay for it. I'm like, well, you're probably
is that serious? Everything's free. What the hell are you talking about?
I don't know.
Oh my God.
It's disgruntled.
Like ADP is the only thing you have to go and pay for. Like you can get good rankings, good content almost everywhere else. And
you get ADP for free if you go to bulletproofff.com. Some of the best ADP out there.
That's true. That's true. And if you want, you know, really, really cheap and great content, go to dynastyfootballfactory.com.
Bing. Love it.
Or join the Discord.
And well, that's, Discord. I mean, that's free for you. That's free. And that is great stuff. That is an amazing place. So yeah, definitely join our Discord.
Cool. So there's two here that I have. So I said, well, there's smoke, there's fire. Listen to what the team is telling you. Now, the caveat to that is the coach speak stuff that we hear during OTAs. Don't listen to that as much. But I just have a small story about like why I think it is important. So I've mentioned on this pod a lot because I just can't get over it. I wish I could just like remove this memory of me trading away Waller for a third. But we had on Will Dennison. We had him on a couple times because he keeps winning this league, and I have no idea how. Or getting to the finals. And he was talking about the reason why he was interested in Waller is because he's watching Hard Knocks. And it was like a goal line situation, and they had Gruden saying, hey, where's Waller? We need Waller. Get Waller. Like, and they brought in Waller for the goal line thing to make a touchdown and all that. Like, if I had seen that or paid attention to it or cared about it, like, that's telling you, like, this is a big situation. We really want to get something done. Bring in my guy, Waller. And that was all it took for Will to be like, yeah, he's going to get a play. He had done nothing in the NFL up to that point. It's like 29 years old. So, yeah, I mean, when you see things like that happen, pay attention to it. The team, over time, what they're telling you, you kind of need to listen to. And it's different than the hype or the coach speak or trying to like praise a rookie or get somebody with some confidence. But like when it's a repeatedly the same thing over and over, you really kind of listen to that. And then the second thing I got is just go get those 24 seconds. So we're going through this console wars, rookie draft, so many players, so many trades. And I've had so many offers and I've seen so many trades go down where these 24 seconds or just getting tossed around basically for free. They're absolutely acquirable and they're going to be acquirable all off season. What it seems to me like a really cheap. And when you ask me would I trade a second for, I forget what player, but it doesn't really matter. The thing is, no, I ended up with this draft.
For Mike Evans? Would you trade a second for Mike Evans? Yeah, a lot of people say they would only trade a third for Mike Evans. They wouldn't trade a second. So.
No, he's worth more than that.
Yeah, I agree, but it's somewhere in the middle.
But then I found with the rookie draft this year, I had 3 seconds, and my ability to move around in the draft and do kind of whatever I wanted to do to get exactly the guys I wanted to get, it seemed like so seamless by having just a couple extra seconds. And I never really had it that year. Thirds, I don't even like drafting them. And this is something I'm going to try to do. Like, I'm going to try to end up with all my leagues having like 3 seconds. It just seems like they're so really easy to go get right now. And when it comes draft time, if there's so much more buying power with a second, even if it's 208, 209, than anything that has a 3 in front of it. And there just seems to be so cheap right now to go get. So I think that's one of those dynasty offseason dues. When you're trying to get your trades done, try to get a 24 second because it seems like nobody cares.
No, that's a great, I mean, I love that one because I generally don't have as many as I wish I had because those are the key dynasty currency when you're trying to get a trade done is a second round pick. Uriah is absolutely right. Those thirds have like a 12% hit rate. So you're not getting much out of those. It's significantly greater in the second round, even though it's still not nearly as good as it is in the first round. But that's why they're so much more valuable. And yeah, right now people aren't thinking about that. They're just thinking, how can I get what I want now? How can I move around here? How can I get a player on my team that's going to score points? Take all the seconds you can, 100%. I have one that I wanted to talk about real quick. One thing I think that, you know, we get lost in throughout the season is just like we focus on our team so much, which you should focus on your own teams a ton. But during the off season, you do have an opportunity to kind of go through your league, look at your league mates rosters, look at kind of the trade history, search, you know, you on MFL, you can literally search transactions, trades by team. You can go and see what they've done over the last, you know, 3 months, whatever it is, right? And you can just gauge kind of like what their tendencies are. And you're like, you don't have to sit down and do this for hours or anything, but you can do it, you know, one league at a time here and there. There's a lot of time during the off season, you know, and just kind of take a look around, make a couple notes here and there of things you want to do with your team, and then base kind of your strategy on what's happening in the league. Cause it makes a lot more sense when you know what's going on, you know, their tendencies, you can take a lot more advantage of it. So I think people just forget that a big part of Dynasty is what's happening around your, you know, each individual league market and what people do, because we see things that would happen in one league would never happen in another. So it really matters understanding kind of what people are willing to do in one league versus another. You can take, you know, advantage of the little things that happen in the off season with one league where, you know, it's people fall all over the hype in one league, but the other league, you know, they don't, they love youth, they love rookies. So, you know, to hit them around draft time, whatever it is. So you just got to kind of know your league and know what you're working with. And I think this is the time to do it.
Love it. All right. We'll talk on some trades and non-trades, which includes the 24 second. So my buddy, Josh, it was hitting me up. He's trying to get Pittman. And, you know, I was looking at my roster and like, I kind of needed Pittman. I'm not really strong at wide receiver. I'm not really strong anywhere. I'm just kind of like, okay, certain places. I think I fixed some of that with the draft, whatever. And he sent me the trade. I said, hey, I'm interested in Ayuk. Like, I need to get a wide receiver back. And he sent me the trade, said, you know, Ayuk in the third for Pittman. And I was like, well, I don't really need Ayuk that bad. And I'm not so interested in thirds anymore. It's been a couple of years now where I'm not really enjoying picking a lot of third round picks just because they don't hit, right? So I'm like, okay, like, that's not, just not what I want. So he sent back Ayuk in a second for Pittman, and I'm like, well, in my mind, it's almost a lateral move. I think Pittman has, in his career, earned more targets, more target share than Ayuk. I think Ayuk is more of a, you hope to have a couple good weeks here and there. He missed some time last year. I think Pittman is on a better, more solid, sturdy player. Mm-hmm. But as far as age and all other stuff, they're kind of equal. So when he sent me over to the 24 second and haven't seen the kind of success I've been having with my seconds in the rookie draft, I'm kind of leaning towards anytime I could get a 24 second this time of year on a trade that I think is pretty close to equal, I'm going to do it every time. So I went ahead and I accepted Ayuk in that second.
Okay. First of all, I agree with just about everything you said. Love the Ayuk in the second. I think it's a smash. Pittman is way overvalued in general. He's more of a wide receiver two than a wide receiver one, and Ayuk is right there. Anyway, you got the second easy on top of it. But now I'm understanding why you wouldn't trade a second for A.J. Dillon.
That's A.J. Dillon. That's what it was. Yeah. I just seen this year kind of just a realization, the power of having seconds, even if it's a 209, 208, something like there's, it just got a whole lot more shove than anything that starts with a three.
So you're right. I love the way you told it.
Yes.
But I got to correct the record here really quick.
Oh, I mean, my memory's not great.
So I hit Uriah because Pittman was on his trade bait. So I hit him up for it. And he's like, okay, well, I do Ayuk in a second. So I thought about it for a little while. So I shot over the Ayuk in a third to see if he would do it. He denied that, declined that one. So I was like, okay, screw it. I'll just pay the second for him.
There you go. Yeah.
I didn't realize this was with you.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I really like, I've always liked Pittman. I like Ayuk too. I just think he's more oft injured. And with AR there, I think he's primed for a great year where we don't really know who's exactly going to be throwing the ball to Ayuk. So I figured just the safer bet would be Pittman, but we'll have to see how this one plays out.
I mean, I agree with that.
Yeah. A lot of people like Pittman.
I think week to week, I'd be more comfortable just having Pittman. But it was the second. It was the 24 second that really was like, okay, let's do this. Yeah.
Yeah. Pittman's not my cup of tea, but I guarantee you he's ranked ahead of Ayuk.
Yeah, you would think so. Especially after last year.
I could tell you right now.
All right. And this next one is a non-trade. I got offered Evans in the 403 for my 203 in a 410. Now, this is a very good offer. And it's one that, like, I keep thinking I probably should have accepted because I get to move up in the fourth. I'd probably get Clayton Toon, who I've been trying to get everywhere except for Josh stole him from me. But I denied it because I've been kind of looking at the 203 and licking my chops. And I really wanted to get a share of Mayer, who I kind of missed out in one of our listener leagues. I ended up grabbing Chabernet and then thinking I kind of made a mistake there. Yeah, this was offered to me by Billy.
Was it? Or was it Jake?
Yeah.
You sure it was me? Oh, yeah, it was me. No, it wasn't me.
This one was you.
You're right. This was me. Yeah. You took Chabernet with the 203 or Michael Mayer?
In this one, no, I took Mayer.
Yes, yeah, so that's who my target
was. The last share of him, so.
That's who my target was. I was trying to jump up there for Mayer. Anyway, I just thought, you know, he's a guy who I would take in the first, Michael Mayer, or at the end of the first. You know what I mean? Like the 111, 112 area, 201. So I'm like, at this point, like that's really the peak value for Mike Evans anyway. I may as well see if I can just get rid of him. I had plenty of wide receivers. So getting rid of, like, he's not going to see my lineup, to be honest with you, just the way that roster is constructed, no matter what. So that said, I'm kind of glad you denied it because it allowed me to get something else done that I wanted to get done way, way more. So it ended up being a blessing probably for both of us.
What do you think, Josh?
Personally, I'm in the 203 and the 410. I have a couple shares of Evans and I cannot move off him to save my life. So I'm going the picks and the unknown all day.
Yeah, I figured it was like, you know what? Like, I kind of could use Evans on my team. I'm like, this guy hates Evans. And not just you, but I think Jake too. And I was like, I could probably get Evans in a couple months if I really wanted to. So I could probably just hold on to
him. If he's good, then it'd be more expensive, but not much more, only a little more.
Yeah, if he goes for over 1,000, you know, yards again and like 6 touchdowns, I probably should have took the deal. But.
I mean, Jake ended up moving him after I moved him, which essentially set the market for what Mike Evans is worth once I moved him. And I'll talk about that in 1 second, but he ended up moving him for a second and 2/3, a fourth, and like Danny Gray, which, I mean, it's not a terrible deal. You got, like you said, you got your 24 second, which he may or may not be worth this time next year. Probably not, if we're being honest with ourselves, with Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask back there. So it's, I think that was probably not a terrible deal. I just think, obviously, which both of us do run the risk of not getting the most out of our asset if he does end up playing like he usually does, which is pretty well. So yeah, I think he's going to fall off personally. Okay. So what I did that kind of kicked off all of that trading, was I traded. So I've been trying to move off of, let me just say this really quick before I get into this. I've been trying to move off of Travis Etienne a bit. And I think some people are like a little bit too excited about what they think his potential usage could be. And I think a lot of it stems from the pass catching work that he's all of a sudden going to get, right? So I went and I looked at it a little bit, and just looking last year, he was bottom of the league in targets per route run, and he was bottom of the league in yards per route run, right? Like 0.14 for targets per route run. Like that's abysmal. Like not even close to anything that you want, right? He was like, he did have a pretty good opportunity share for the team, which is percent of the team's running back carries and targets. He had 60.1%, but that's not going up. It's not. And the guys that you want who are like top five guys in the league, they're getting like 70-80% opportunity share. They're not coming off the field. They just brought in Tank Bigsby, who's like, I didn't think was like, you know, top notch back or anything, but he is a really high end prospect. I think they drafted him in the third round. Peterson talking about how he wants to use multiple backs in this offense. They've already shown that they're not going to use him in that pass catching role the way that we want him to or need him to, really, for fantasy. He's not all of a sudden going to get more rushing work when they bring in a guy that they want to rush the ball, right? So he may get all of the passing down work, but there's not going to be that much passing down work for the running backs on this team, bottom line. So that's a big part of why I'm trying to move on from Etienne, because I like Etienne a lot, the talent. I don't think he's going to get the usage. He's just getting older. He's already had an injury. So I want to move off of Etienne and try to churn, just get younger. And I know he's young, but get younger and just move on. So what I did here, I'd made two trades. I'll go over both of those real quick. This first one was Etienne and Mike Evans. I packaged Evans because I just want to get rid of him. And I figured that he was a sweetener to kind of get this deal done. So I moved Etienne and Mike Evans for Jahmyr Gibbs and the 210, which ended up becoming Tank Bigsby. So
yeah, so I kinda
yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting where I got, you know, the bargain brand version of Travis Etienne, not in style or anything like that, but just I got the backup to Travis Etienne and Jahmyr Gibbs to move Etienne and Mike Evans. And I feel really good about that. How do you guys feel?
I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. When I saw that trade come through, I'm like, oh man, he did it again. So yeah, I'm stoked for you. I think it's a really good trade. Makes me kind of wish I had taken Evans from you so that you couldn't get that done. But yeah, good job.
I put this deal in a poll out on Twitter just to see kind of what the community thought. Got a good bit of traction. I think around 300 votes or so. And it ended up actually 52% on the Etienne side. So
yeah,
this is one of those trades that I think is you know, lose now and win in 6 months type of trade, right? That's absolutely what I think I'm doing here. So I also, like, I'm not, it's funny because I'm not even a Gibbs truther, but once you get like the, you know, the 12th overall pick in the draft, they trade away DeAndre Swift, the only guy who has any threat to your role on the team. And you go to an offense that's up and coming that has a bunch of good talent on it. Like it's just like, it's one of those things where it's like with Jalen Hurts, I wasn't like super in on Jalen Hurts, like when he came in the league. But when I start seeing everything fall into place, you're just like, I think I got to just kind of buy in and just see if it works out, because the heights are so high. So with Gibbs, my strategy is to move on from any Etienne shares I have to Gibbs, because if Etienne still seems to have more value. But when you look on like Keep Trade Cut or look in any dynasty rankings, Gibbs is already the number 6 or number 5 running back over Etienne. So I'm already ahead of, I guess, our league markets. I'm not necessarily ahead of the general market because he's already right there. So the other trade I made, which was in DU3, was I moved Etienne and Rashad Penny as a sweetener as well for Jahmyr Gibbs again. Thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I like it too. Especially with Swift landing in Philly, Penny's injury history. Yeah, I mean, if you could get out on him as a sweetener like that and then move off from Etienne, as you've been wanting to, for Jahmyr Gibbs, again, drafted 12th overall. I love both those.
Yeah, two smart trades.
Okay. Someone else go with that one. That's there. I don't know who else that trade is, and I'll do the last one.
Oh, that's got to be Josh.
That's me.
Oh, it's a big, it has like 17 players in it. 17 players. Yeah. Got it. Okay, Josh.
So somebody sent me over an offer. They wanted me to trade away Kelsey, Mike Evans, Najee, and Trey Burks to get back Bijan, Jacoby, Damian Pierce, and Hutchins.
Wow. So wait, Kelsey, Mike Evans, right?
Najee, yeah.
Najee Harris, Treylon Burks.
Treylon Burks, yeah.
For Bijan, Jacoby, Pierce, and Hutchinson. That's a wild trade.
Burks, I mean, to be honest, the main reason I didn't do it is because of Burks. But
yeah, there's a lot of good players on that side. I mean, I don't even know how you split that down to kind of make it in your brain work. But if you can say, like, I guess, what, Bijan? Is Bijan worth Kelsey and Burks?
No, I don't think so. Kelsey is still just – teams with Kelsey are always in the playoffs.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Okay, yeah, Bijan's great. I mean, he's a nice young rookie, but do you really want Jacoby, Damian Pierce? What? Yeah, Damian Pierce. Hutchinson? Like,
No. Like, it's the Kelsey side for sure. You're right.
It's not close.
Yeah.
And Najee should bounce back.
Najee should, but Burks is super undervalued, and that is selling low on Najee, obviously selling low on Evans, selling low on Burks too. I saw Burks go for like a 111 somewhere. I think I saw it on Reddit, and I was like, what? I was like, smash that Burks side immediately. So yeah, he's super low.
Yeah, good. Yeah, good job not trading him away.
Yes. Sometimes the best trades are the ones you don't make, right?
Yes. Even a non-trade, that's a trade, right? Declining a trade, because you, I saw this, like, you know, somebody's had said, you know, even when you decline, it was Will Dennison, I think. Declining a trade is still making a trade because you're choosing player XYZ over player XYZ. You're making a choice of what players you want.
Yeah, that was like the most, like he definitely took some ayahuasca before he sent that message.
It was, yeah, it was very like.
He was on a shroom trip, very cerebral. Take he had there. All right, so here's the last trade. This one, dude, I've had some trades come across my inbox where I'm just like, it's pretty good for me. Yeah, thank you for being generous.
I love it when that happens.
So Cooper Kupp for a 24 first and second, and both are absolutely going to be late. The roster is just very, very good.
Until it's not, right? I mean, I don't know how much longer Kupp's going to be cut, but.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he had the tightrope surgery this past season. You know, he had the high ankle issue and then he had tightrope surgery for it. And, you know, all my research and that, it just seems like it's not an injury that you have to be concerned about really impacting their ability. So from that aspect, I'm not worried about it. He's coming back to a team that has like guys who generally would be working at Burger King as a wide receiver too. So, yeah. You know, being honest, like, I mean, Puka Nacua is the guy you got to be excited about right now, who just got drafted to the team outside of Cooper Kupp as a pass catcher. So, yeah, like he's coming back to a team where every target should go his way. You know, for late first and second, I'll take that shot. I'll take that shot.
And Matt Stafford, again, I think he's going to look a lot more like Matt Stafford of a couple years ago.
Left that out too. I agree. Yeah.
He was injured. Elbow, when you're a quarterback,
back,
like.
Elbow and back. Both of them were aggravated.
Yeah, he's broke his back like twice. So, yeah, I think that team's going to be better than people think, but we'll see. great trades. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
No, I just want to say that I think our Console Wars League over 10 days now has had over 30 trades.
Yes.
Since our rookie draft started. Just absolutely wild.
How many of those have you pushed?
Almost all of them. I think I definitely, I know that Ben pushed like two of them, but yeah, I've pushed 90% of those, if not 95%. But yeah. Last thing I do want to say, I actually just remembered this, Ben, because I just mentioned Ben's name, Ben hit me up, and our buddy Ben, who commissions that league. I think we've had Ben on here actually before.
We have, yeah.
Yeah. We got to reach back and find what episode that is and mention it. But Ben hit me up and was like, I just heard your name on Dynasty Trades HQ. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, you traded away Bijan and Breece Hall for like Herbert or something. I was like, no, I didn't. I was like, I absolutely did not make any trade like that. First of all, I don't own those two players on the same team or manage those two players on the same team. So I was like, all right, let me go listen to this episode. And he was absolutely right. They were like, yep, Steven Willie Beeman, Dynasty Football Factory, this, that. And I'm like, what? So I go and I hit up Shane Manila. We used to work together at DFF as well. And I was like, hey brother, I think you got the wrong guy. Like, I'm not even in an HQ league, dude. And he's like, well, would you look at that? He's like, yeah, that's definitely going on the next episode. I was like, all right. you're tarnishing my good name, brother. Like, you can't be doing that. So if anybody listens to Dynasty Trades HQ, listens to us, which is very likely, I did not make that trade. Like, that was not me.
Stop lying.
Keep my name out your own mouth.
Keep my name.
You finally took a risk. For the first time in your life, you took a risk.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, for the first time in my life, I took a risk and sent Bijan and Breece. Like, yeah, that's what it was. Oh my goodness. I was like, get the hell out of here. So yeah, that's what we're going to end on this week. Don't listen to everything you hear on the podcast. It's not always the truth. All right. Fake news.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Dynasty Underdog. Follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Underdog, at Uriah Dawkins, at Willie Beeman DFF, and at Josh M. Goldberg 92. Follow us on Discord.